So that's a great segue into our message this morning. Are you baptized? Thank you, Alistair. So Alistair shared about what was happening, the water baptisms there. And this past weekend, if you look at Facebook, you will see that Pastor Vivian had water baptism yesterday. And on Friday, Pastor Evelyn also had water baptism. One was in the ocean off the tip of Alcala, the very northernmost tip of the Philippines. Pastor Evelyn, I believe, was in a swimming pool, a resort or something like that. And Lighthouse, it's going to be at Gold Coast in the, is it the South China Sea? Is that what we, okay, it's the South China Sea. So the Arabian Gulf and the South China Sea. It's a little bit like the Ethiopian eunuch. They're going along the road, and he said, here is water. So wherever there is water. So we're going to talk about water baptism this morning, and I'm looking at the time, so I'm going to try to squeeze some things, and we may throw out some things, and I'll do the best I can with the time that we have this morning. But I want to say to you, this message and this service together, youth, I'm so glad you're here, that you're part of this morning. You have especially been on my heart and in my thoughts as we come to this service. So this is for you this morning, and it's for all the rest of us as well. So I want to talk this morning about, are you baptized? You may say yes, or you may say no, but this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And if you think about it, if you've got your Bibles, we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. But if you know a fair bit about scripture, you will know that baptism is found all the way from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Did you know that? Some of you probably thought, well, you know, it's in the New Testament. Baptism is found in the book of Genesis. It is found, and the New Testament tells us that, all the way, I think, Genesis 6, Genesis 7, all the way from the very beginning, all the way to the end. So I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, because we're all going to answer it together. We're going to use our hands to answer it, okay? So be a little more informal this morning. Here's my question. According to the Bible, so use your hands, okay? How many baptisms are there? Okay, just put up as many fingers as you think. And if you say, I really don't know, just wave all your fingers like this. Okay, ready? Okay, one, two, three. How many? Okay, thank you for your honesty. Those of you that are waving all of your fingers like that. If you waved one, you're wrong. Okay. If you waved two, you're wrong. If you waved more than three, I think probably you're wrong also. This message this morning is going to help us understand baptism. And we're going to talk about, as you can guess from this, about one particular type of baptism. But I want to encourage you, because when we understand about baptism in the Bible, all of the baptisms in the Bible, it helps us to also understand what water baptism is, and what all these baptisms, what it means to us as Christians. So some people might say, well, I think there are more than three, because Jesus talks about, I have a baptism of suffering, a baptism of death. So if you want to say, okay, well, then that's four, you can include that if you want to. But for us as Christians, generally, there are three baptisms. And some of you are saying, huh? Let's look at some scriptures very, very quickly, and then we're going to talk about water baptism, okay? So grab your Bibles, but you can look up here as well. We're going to look at some similarities and some differences. Let's start with the easiest one, right? The one that we usually think of, and the easiest one is water baptism, right? We think of this one first, so I'm going to go fast, right? But you're okay. So, and this is found, so water baptism, and the baptism of Jesus is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's found in all four of the Gospels. So if you say it is, yes, it is. And so if this is something that the Lord is prompting you, I encourage you, you go to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you will find Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, John chapter 1. So it's 3-1-3-1 in the four Gospels. Aha! I think God gives us patterns that help us to understand his word. So it's 3-1-3-1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's just look at Mark's. You will find generally the same thing in each of the four gospels, okay? So at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. John was already baptizing people, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open. Not just heaven open, but torn. Torn is the word that's used here, and it's really significant. It's the word in the Greek, it's the word schizo. So that should make you, sometimes when somebody has schizophrenia, it's more than one, right? So that's the word. So it's something that's really torn. But this is in a positive way. And the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Okay, those people that have problems with the Trinity, check out this passage right here. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So here's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Yeah? So here's the Trinity. So water baptism. Let me give you one other verse for that. Look, Mark 1 is at the beginning of his public life, right? So the water baptism at the beginning of his public life, and then right near the end of his life. Now he's just appearing to the disciples. What is it? We always know. We call this the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How do you make a disciple according to Jesus? What are some of the, how is a disciple just, yes, I will follow Jesus, raise a hand, come to the front, repeat a prayer, here, now you're a disciple. No. What does it say? Jesus says, make disciples of all nations, comma, this is how, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Jesus said. Now, some of you already have some questions about that. And some of you this morning might say, I have been baptized, but when I was baptized in the name of Jesus, because that's what I see in the New Testament. We'll talk about that, okay? And so Jesus said, baptizing them, this is how we make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, the very first step after salvation is water baptism. There's no question about it. There's no, well, I'm not sure. There's no, well, I'll think about it. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, it starts with after salvation, after saying, yes, Jesus, I give you my life, I will follow you, the very next step should be water baptism. And now, Lord, I will be baptized in water. And then beyond that, I'm going to obey. I'm going to learn about you. I'm going to be taught. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to obey. That's what it means to be a disciple. So here's water baptism. Okay, ready for some questions? In water baptism, who is baptizing? Okay. Who is baptizing? Look at these two. Okay. Who is baptizing? John and who? The disciples or followers of Jesus, right? How many of you have baptized in water someone else? Raise your hand. Okay. A few of us have. Not? Okay. Oh, you have been baptized in water. Okay. A few of us have. Jesus gave that command to all of those who you go out, you teach, and you baptize. Okay, so a person baptizes, okay, someone else. And when you are baptized into what? In water baptism, what are you baptized into? That's not a trick question. You're baptized into water, okay? That's what water baptize. You thought I was going to play tricks on you, not playing tricks, okay? Water baptism, what are you baptized into? You're baptized into water. You say, duh, it's important. This is part of it, okay? So we have water baptism. What is the other baptism that we often think about? So water's the first, which is what we're going to talk about today, but let's understand the second one that is also very common. What's the second one? Spirit baptism. Okay, look at Matthew. Ready? So here, remember I told you Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Here's Matthew 3, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Matthew 3, John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. Who gets baptized? Those who repent and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals or untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question in just a minute that I just asked. And then here's Jesus after his resurrection on one occasion. While he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them, the disciples, this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, John the Baptist, but in a few days you will be baptized with, and that word with means what? In. That is the Greek word that means with and in. Same meaning for this word, okay? He will... But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what comes next. And we're going to celebrate this in just a few weeks. Ready? Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, the sound, like the rushing of a violent wind, came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then what happens? They saw what seemed to be tongues of what? Fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. With, what does the word with also mean? With or in the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them this ability. Okay, Holy Spirit baptism. Who baptizes? Uh-oh. Who baptizes? Sorry. Good thing you're not taking an exam. John said, I baptize with water. A person baptizes other people in water. And then John says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Who baptizes you and me in the Holy Spirit? Who does? Jesus does. How many of you are a little bit scared of the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid of Jesus? Jesus is the one who baptizes. And he says, I'll ask the Father. So it's actually Jesus and the Father working together, right? We're going to talk more about this because Pentecost is coming soon. And it is my prayer and desire and a biblical mandate that when we are baptized in water, we are then also baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So who baptizes? Jesus. In Holy Spirit baptism. What does he baptize you in? What does he baptize you in? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The symbol was fire because God is that describes God's holiness, right? So Jesus and the Father, the Father sends the gift. Jesus baptizes you in Holy Spirit baptism, baptizes you and me in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Baptize means, we'll talk about this in a minute, but our time is short, so I'm putting it all in there. Baptize, the word baptizo in the New Testament, it's used 77, that's a great number, 77 times, and it means to submerge, immerse, or sink. Okay, that's what it means. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, so that's second baptism, right? Okay, what's the third baptism? That's where we're a little bit shaky, right? There's a third baptism. Some of you got it right away. You looked at me and you smiled and you said three. Let me give you the verse and then you can tell me. Look with me. He says... Okay, this is in 1 Corinthians. Here's the third baptism for Christians. Ready? Look at it with me. Paul is writing this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. This is a modern translation. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Chinese. Some are Filipino. Some are German. Some are British. Some are Ugandan. You get the picture, right? You got the picture? Okay. Some are slaves and some are free. That has to do with socioeconomic, where we are, right? So that's all of us. Some are slaves, some are free. Ready? But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Verse 27, now all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Aha. Here's your third baptism, okay? What is this baptism? How would you describe it? When does it happen? So let me ask you this first of all. When does this baptism happen? Think about it. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. Here's when it happens. In whatever way you say it, in however you came to God, at some point in your life, this morning, if you are a follower of God, you said something like this. You prayed something like this. God, I give you my life. I surrender to you. Jesus, take my life. Wash away my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Change me. I want to belong to you. And he did it. And at that moment, something happened to you. You went from where you were into the body of Christ. That's another baptism. And that's the first baptism. That's the first baptism. Who does the first baptism? Who? Who? Look at it. The Spirit does it. Remember what Jesus said? I'm leaving, but another one is coming. He's going to lead you into all truth. And the work of God in the world today has been handed into the hands of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important in your life, in my life, in church life. And that's why we say yes to him in every area of our lives. Because it's his job. It's his work. It's his power. It's his leadership. And the Holy Spirit, when you become a Christian, he brings you, he does what? He baptizes you into, okay, we got baptized into water. We get baptized into Spirit. We get baptized into what? What? Into body, into Jesus, right? Into one body. So we are baptized now into Jesus. So this morning, if you are a Christian, be proud of the country in which God allowed you to be born, but be prouder that you are now a child of God and you are part of the body of Christ. That is a better identity. You should be prouder of that identity than any earthly identity that you have, because it makes you one with Christ and it makes you my brother and my sister. And that's what it does. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay, three baptisms, not six. Okay, so here's some questions for you before we look at water baptism specifically. You're with me, right? We're going to go a little bit. We're not going to go longer. We're still going to go about the same amount of time. But okay, so three baptisms. So let me ask you this. Every baptism has three parts. What are the three parts? There is each one of these baptisms. These are all baptisms. There is the person who is baptized. There is the one who does the baptizing. And then there is the medium of baptism, right? So there are three parts. So there's water baptism. So the medium is water. The medium is Spirit. The medium is the body of Christ. That's the church, okay? So let me ask you one other thing, or look with me. There's one other part here. There's one other part that's so important. No one is baptized in any of these baptisms who does not first say yes, who does not first agree, who does not first submit. If you don't want to be a Christian, you're not going to be a Christian. God's not going to come in and overwhelm your life and say, your life is such a mess, I'm going to take over. No. God waits for an invitation. He waits for an invitation. And when you invite him, he comes right in and he does his work. That's what he does. But you have to say yes. It's your will. It's your choice. Water baptism. Spirit baptism. No one who is baptized with the Holy Spirit has not submitted. Am I saying that the right way? I think I'm saying it the right way. Has not submitted to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. You come in. You take control. I know that part, it's a little bit complicated. We're going to talk more about that. But at some point, you have said, yes, completely. My grandmother, when the night that she got saved, my mother's mother, the one who was Amish, and she had believed in her righteousness was based on her works. All that she would do would make her righteous. But she was taught she had no way of knowing whether her works were enough until one day she would get to she would die, and then she would find out your work was good enough. God accepted it. The night that she was saved, God gave her a vision because she was Amish, right? And so she always wore this cap. If you've ever seen them, you know this cap that covered her head, and that was a sign of her righteousness, right? It was a sign of her righteousness. And the night that she said yes to Jesus, God gave her a vision of a hand with scissors coming down, not cutting her. God doesn't do that. That's what you thought, right? Cutting the strings that tied the cap, and her cap fell off. And she realized, I am accepted by God, not by anything I can do, not by what I can give God, not by the good things that I can do. It is done by the work of God. He does it. That's why we come to Jesus and we say yes to Jesus. It's His righteousness. She was saved, and you know what? Her heart was so open to God that as she said yes to Jesus, she said later, I could not tell a difference between the moment I was saved and the moment I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was instant. It felt like it was because her heart was so open to God. Her heart was so yes to God. If your heart, listen, brothers and sisters, listen, young people, we struggle with these things. There's all these things going on. If your heart, in your heart, if you are willing to say yes with your whole heart and really mean it from the bottom to the top, yes, don't have all the answers. I don't know how to figure it out. What I have found is this: God can do a lot, and He can do it quickly. One of the reasons we struggle so much is because we're just kind of resisting. Well, yes, yes, no, yes, God, you can have part, but I want this part. But if you are willing to say yes completely, young people, this includes you too. When you say yes completely, God can do a lot. Does not depend on physical maturity. Does not. It depends on your heart, and your heart says yes. Amen. So here we have. So it takes all three baptisms require us to say yes. Water baptism. I've given you this example before. So Janice is in the back. You can turn around and look. Hi, Janice. Thank you for translating for us. Remember when Janice was water baptized on the fourth floor? The water was super cold because the two pastors disagreed on when we should turn on the water heater. Let me just say that I said early. You can give them a hard time next week. The water was, that was the same, that's when Keith was baptized too. Was the water cold, Keith? It was freezing. And we were afraid Keith was going to have some sort of fit in the water. It was so cold. So, but Janice, you know, is tall. So I was the one baptizing Janice in water because that's water baptism, right? There's water, there's the person being baptized, there's the person baptizing. So Janice was there, and Janice, in the name of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I started to put her under the water. And the water was so cold that Janice went, ah, like that, with her long legs. And Janice did not go under the water. And she said, oh, sorry, let's try that again. So we're laughing about that, but that gives us a really good example. Janice, at that moment, resisted involuntarily because it was so. So nobody is baptized in water that doesn't want to be baptized in water also, if we resist. That's why it helps us to remind us it's a choice, right? It's what we choose. And so Janice said, yes. And this time she let her legs go down, even though it was super cold, and she was baptized in water. So here we come then to water baptism. And so I just want to ask you, and for the sake of time, I'm going to cut some things short, but I do want to say this. Next week, before water baptism, we're going to have communion. I just want to let you know this. Next Sunday, we're going to have communion, because communion and water baptism are linked. What happened at the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus? What happened? He was what? He was baptized in water. Let me find it. Okay, yeah. He was baptized in water. What did that point to? What does baptism point to? We'll talk about it very briefly, but we die, we go under the water, we come up alive. It's a symbol. Beginning of his ministry. What happens at the end? And it was pointing to something in the future. That's why Jesus was baptized. He was perfect. He was sinless. He didn't need to repent. But he told John, when John said, no, master, you should baptize me. And Jesus said, nope, we do this for the sake of righteousness. Why? Jesus knew why he had come. He knew what was ahead. He knew that one day he was going to identify completely and fully with you. Young people, with you in your sin and in your struggle. Older people, with you in every area. He was going to identify with you. He was going to take your sin. He was going to be beaten. He was going to walk the road carrying the cross, and he was going to take your sin on the cross, and he was going to be identified with you on the cross. That's the beginning. That's what water baptism means. What happens at the end of his public ministry? Jesus gathers with his disciples in the upper room. He takes bread and he breaks it. And what does he say? This is my body that's broken for you. He takes juice and what does he say? This is my blood that's shed for you. And so he identified with you and me. He provided for you and me. And then the very next day, Jesus went to the cross. Symbol, reality. That's what Jesus did. So we come to baptism, and I ask you this morning, are you baptized? Some of you right now will say yes, and some of you will say no. Let me start with the people who say no, okay? Let's start with those. By the way, no condemnation. No condemnation. This morning someone said, I just asked somebody upstairs. I believe like the Lord's been sort of directing me. And I spoke to someone and I said, out of all the people there, have you been baptized yet? And she said, no. Just, but I'm going to be. And I said, great. So I immediately told everybody else around him, no condemnation. We're glad. We're going to rejoice with you. So if you are not yet baptized, the Bible gives us some verses, okay? So if you say, no, I'm not baptized, my question to you right now is, why not? Now, that sounds like a tough question. I don't mean it in a tough way, but it's a question you need to answer. If you're not baptized this morning, why aren't you baptized? Here is a reason not to be baptized. Day of Pentecost. Ready? As we look at it. The Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter gets up. He starts preaching, and he's preaching about Jesus, and he says, you crucified Jesus. He was the Son of Life. Now, the way he was the Messiah. Now, look at what happens. Acts 2, 37, 38. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So look at that. Look at Acts 8. This is in a city in Samaria. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So, if you say, I am not yet baptized this morning, there should be only one reason. And that should be, I have not yet believed on Jesus and repented of my sins and turned to Jesus. That should be the only reason for not being baptized this morning. Because this is very clear if we turn it around the other way. If you believe in Jesus and you've repented and you've turned to God, the very next step is to be baptized. Just that simple. No condemnation. But here's what the Bible tells us, okay? So some of you who are young this morning are saying, yeah, but I'm kind of young. I am so sorry, but I don't find anywhere in the Bible that says, well, I'm a teenager and I got to wait till I'm 18. Not in the Bible. If you believe in Jesus and you know what that means, and you know what it means, then you qualify for baptism and you are commanded to be baptized by Jesus. This is not what I'm saying, Pastor Jen. I'm not trying to get a whole bunch of people to be water baptized, to sign up. It's not about me. It's about you and your relationship with God. This is what it's about. And so we look at this. So a reason not to be baptized is I don't yet qualify because I'm not yet following Jesus. May I say one other thing to you this morning, if that is you? Why wouldn't you? Don't you want to give your life to Jesus and let him take over? Don't you want him to walk into your mess and clean it up? Don't you want him to walk into the areas that you're confused and dark and let him speak and say, let there be peace, let there be order, let things work out? That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. Oh, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want that? And so if you believe, or this morning if you say, yes, I believe, then you need to be baptized. So let's go a little bit further. Let's stay on the day of Pentecost. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and then 3 months later, after they had satisfied the church and they had completed all of the courses that were needed and had memorized several verses in the Bible and could very well explain, this is exactly what it means, they were baptized. Is that what that says? What does it say? That day. That day, about 3,000 people were added to them. I understand that we need to understand the significance of baptism. But Jesus says, do you believe? Be baptized. Yes, I'm in your heart. Now, be baptized. Let's go a little bit further. Here's Paul. Ananias is praying for him. By the way, stay with me on this one. Who is Paul? He's still Saul at this point. What does your resume say? What does your job resume say? Do you know what Saul's job resume said at the very top? What he was most proud of? Persecutor and murderer of Christians. That was at the top of it. Was. Right, am I right? Yeah. I'm right. That was at the top of his job resume. Ananias prays for him. He's blind. He receives his sight. And Ananias, and by the way, he has been going without food and water for 3 days as he realizes Jesus is the Messiah. And he's praying. And then Ananias says, and now, what are you waiting for? This is part of the testimony. Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. This is what baptism represents. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up, and because he had not eaten for 3 days, first he had a really big meal and drank a lot, and then he was baptized in water. No, I'm sorry. And then because he was a murderer and persecutor of Christians, the church said, let's see if he really is a Christian. He's got to prove his sincerity before we baptize him. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? Immediately, he got up and was baptized. First thing he did. Some of us have taken so long to decide to be baptized, we don't even think it's important. We think, oh, well, I'll think about it. Maybe when my friends get baptized, I'll be baptized too. Yeah, it'll make my hair look bad. I'm going to be ugly. Too many people paying attention to me. Now, I'm kind of making fun, but I'm very serious also. Look with me. Paul did not have to prove anything. They didn't say, well, maybe it's just an emotional response. Ananias said, get up and be baptized. What are you waiting for? Nothing was more important than being baptized after he believed in Jesus. So, people this morning, young people this morning, do you believe in Jesus? Are you committed to him? Then my urging to you is, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. That's the word of God this morning. Remember, I'm going to skip over that, but you remember that. In the middle of the night, the Philippian jailer, the earthquake comes. Paul and Silas are in prison. And he says, oh, what should I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He preaches the word to them. They understand. And then it says what? And then They said, believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. But what does that mean? You and your house. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others, so that they could understand what it meant. At that hour of the night, he does wash up because they're bleeding. And then immediately, he and his family were baptized. Immediately, he and his family were baptized. So I'm just going to say again, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Now, some of you say, when I ask again, are you baptized? Some of you will say, yes, I was baptized as a child. And if you were baptized as a child, probably your church background was Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or Anglican or Church of England or some other ones as well. Now, let me tell you something that'll scare you. Parents, you ready for this? Do you know when they started baptizing babies, do you know how they used to baptize them? Parents, that's how did they do it, Stephen? Whoosh! All the way under the water. Ah! Okay. If you were baptized, how were you baptized? You were sprinkled, right? But for much of the, when people started baptizing infants, when the church started baptizing infants, then they dunked them all the way under the water. I'd be kind of scared about that. I don't know what would happen. So I want to say something. First of all, if you were baptized as a child, as an infant, your parents decided for you. What I want to say is this. Good for your parents for realizing there's something that's spiritually significant and children are from God, and I want God's connection and blessing. Good for them. Good for that. But what I want to say is this. The Bible doesn't give any pattern for that, okay? And that's what we want to do. We want to go to the pattern in the Bible. What did Jesus do? What Jesus did was he blessed children, and he blessed babies. Parents brought them. So I want to say this. Parents, if you have children that have not yet been dedicated or blessed by the Lord, I would say to you that that should be something you should think about and do. I think that's important. Let me keep on going. So if you were sprinkled as a child or even as an adult, is that okay? Can we say, but then I've been baptized? Once again, go to the Bible. That's where we go. Not to what our churches tell us, but what the Bible says. I'm skipping over so much. I'm trying to bring it to a conclusion. But I want to show you something. Look at the Bible pattern. Philip is with the Ethiopian eunuch. As they traveled along the road, they came to the water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Is there anything to keep me from being baptized? Look at what happens. Both Philip and the eunuch went what? What happened? They went what? Down into the water. Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. Eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So what I want to say to you is this. Our churches sometimes do different things. But what I want to do and what I want us to do is to do what the Bible says. And the picture in the Bible of baptism is going under the water and then coming out. Why? Why? Here's the teaching. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Now, we come to a close, and I want to just very quickly talk about, in just a few words, the blessing of baptism. And I want to read a verse to you that you may never have noticed before. Here's the blessing of baptism, whatever age you are. If you're a young person this morning, here's the blessing of baptism. Jesus says, be baptized, and when you obey, God always blesses obedience. Always. He always blesses obedience. Number one. So there's the blessing of obedience. Secondly, there is the pleasure of God that comes upon you. Very clearly, this is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him. That is not just Jesus being baptized. That is you being baptized as well. There is the opening of heaven and the Holy Spirit coming. And when you are baptized, you will find a difference in your life, a change, a step up. I can see some of you just sitting here nodding right now because you have experienced this. Two verses that you may never have looked at before. You will also notice a change in confidence and victory over sin. Ready? 1 Corinthians, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Here's Old Testament. Did you know this is baptism? And then look at this. By an act of faith, the people of Israel walked right through the Red Sea as though on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they drowned. What's an application for us there? When you are baptized in water, you are saying to God, I'm following you. You are saying to yourself, I'm committed to God. You're saying to the devil, my old life is over. And when your old life is over, what happens? Here's something spiritual. I don't even understand it all, but here's something spiritual. There are areas of your life that you're struggling with right now in sin and in overcoming. When you are water baptized, the Lord Jesus takes care of your old life. Those Egyptians, they were slaves in Egypt. What happened? The Egyptians drowned. Some of you have been in Lighthouse a long time. Let me give you a testimony, a very dramatic testimony. I think Stephen would remember this one. A few of us would remember this one. Many years ago, a young woman in Lighthouse, domestic helper, was baptized. I think at Stanley. I don't remember exactly. I think at Stanley. I think it may be where we had the cobra at Stanley, right? Way back when. I think that was when. She was baptized. After baptism, she gave a testimony. Do you know what her testimony was? I don't even remember her name, but I remember the details. Here's her testimony. In the years, and especially in the months up to that time in her life, she had struggled with demonic attacks in her life. I don't know her past. I don't know her background. I don't know what she had been involved in. And she was a Christian. She had thoughts, dark thoughts. She had thoughts of suicide. She had thoughts of hurting herself. None of us knew this until she gave the testimony. And all of this, the attacks, got worse and worse and worse. But she had decided to be baptized. A week or two, maybe a week before she was baptized, she told us after baptism, I woke up in the early hours of the morning in the apartment on the 17th floor where I lived and where I worked. Do you remember this? And I was climbing out of the window on the 17th floor onto the outside ledge, and I was going to go over. And I woke up, and I caught myself just in time. I'm not trying to overly dramatic. I'm telling you, this is a true testimony out of Lighthouse people. And I caught myself just in time. What does the enemy do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the enemy is defeated. He's drowned. Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross. When she was baptized in water, guess what happened? The attacks stopped. The dreams stopped. The bad thoughts stopped. The desire for suicide stopped. It was over and it was done with. Why? Because the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. And in water baptism, there is a spiritual thing that happens. It's more than just, oh, I'm going into the water, I'll get wet and I'll come up again. It's so much more than that. God does something. And the devil is openly and publicly defeated again. That's why some of you who are shy about, oh, you know, in front of everybody and they're looking at me, who cares? Jesus identified with you. Those of you who are shy about that this morning, we close with this. Jesus identified with you when he went to the cross, spit dripping from his face and beard, stripped naked with people looking at him and mocking him for 6 hours. And you can't be water baptized 45 seconds? while people look at you and rejoice for this step of obedience? Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. I don't say that in a put-down way. I say that in an encouragement way. Stand up. Be baptized. And if that's you, take the image of Jesus going to the cross for you and be water baptized. Identify with him and then see what God will do in your life, in your heart, in defeating sin and giving you victory as you identify with him in death and new life. Amen? Let me close in prayer. Thank you for being patient. Don't look at your watches. It's 12:21. Right now. It's 12:21. It's 12:22. So I'm going to pray short. But let me tell you right now. I hope this made some things clear if it wasn't. And I hope it encouraged some of you. If you're already water baptized and you've been struggling, this is also the time for you to come back to the Lord and say, God, you defeated these things in my life. I'm going to stand with you. They're over and done with. They're over and done with. And you stand with the Lord. Outside in the lobby is a sheet that says, water baptism, sign up. And I believe, I'm looking around, are there any babies in arms here? Nope. You know what? I'm looking around, everybody in here is old enough this morning, if you believe in Jesus, and you have not been baptized yet, according to what we've seen in the Bible this morning. If you were baptized before you were a Christian, before you really believed, before you were committed, then you need to be baptized. Because what does Paul say? Repent and what? Be baptized. Does not say, be baptized, repent, join the church. Nope. Repent and be baptized. Sign up is in the lobby. Don't think about it. Do it. Let's pray. Ready? Each one of us. Lord, here we are this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are so clear about this so that we don't have to have a lot of questions and wonder. Lord, we understand now this morning that from this point, for all of us here, it is a question of will, a matter of choice, a matter of obedience. God, I pray that each one of us would be obedient to you this day. And that we would, when Ananias, when your spirit says to us, and now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized, Lord, that we will be baptized. And we will experience your blessing, your pleasure in our lives, and your victory in our lives over these areas of sin. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for sitting here until